A seed is a very powerful thing. In my hand, I have a little seed, and you can't even see it. I can barely even feel it. You can't even tell it's probably on my finger. But inside this seed is a small, very small embryonic plant. And there is also some stored food that's keeping that plant alive. And that embryonic plant has the potential to sprout and grow and become a mature plant and actually bear fruit. But in order for that to happen, there's got to be two things that take place. First of all, this seed must remain alive. Sometimes seeds can be damaged or stepped on or even eaten by birds or even humans from time to time. And when that happens, the seed is destroyed, and that embryonic plant inside of it is destroyed as well. And the potential for it to grow into a mature plant ceases. And so if this seed is going to grow, it must remain alive. It must be viable. But then secondly, it's got to be planted in soil that has good conditions. The soil can be hard. It can't be full of rocks or thorns or weeds. But it's got to be good, deep, rich soil that has nutrients in it and that will receive rain and water and sunshine. And if those two things happen, if this seed remains alive and it's planted in soil that is good soil, receives water, receives sunshine, that water will come into that seed. It will soak up that water till it will split open. And that embryonic plant will start to grow, and it will sprout above the ground. It'll grow tall, and eventually it will bear fruit from this little seed. And over the past month, we've been talking about the parable of the sower found in Matthew chapter 13. Story of a farmer who sows seed. He sows some seed along the road, and the birds come and eat that seed up. Sows some seed among the rocks. And it sprouts, springs up, but because of the rocks, isn't able to develop root. And so when the sunshine comes and the drought comes, it withers and falls away. Some seed falls among thorns or among weeds. And the thorns choke out that seed, and it's unable to produce fruit. And each week we've talked about these three soils. And we've used those three soils as metaphors for the heart. That sometimes our heart becomes hard soil, just like this soil right here. Maybe it's because of sin in our life, or maybe because of something that's hurt us. Feel betrayed about something, doubts that we might have, our heart becomes hard. And when God's word comes upon our heart, it stays on the surface, it doesn't penetrate. But sometimes our heart is like this soil, which is full of rocks. And that God's word comes into our heart, but because of the rocks, it can't go very deep. And so when the hard times come, when the difficulties come, we fade away as a Christian because we don't have any roots. But then last week we talked about that sometimes our heart is like this, full of weeds and thorns. Ouch, I just got stuck. And some of these weeds are bad, full of thorns and thistles. Some of them are kind of nice. They've got some flowers on them. And we talked about that sometimes that's the way it is with our own hearts, is our hearts become full of bad and good things. And these things choke out the word of God, and the word loses its priority. And because of that, we're unable to produce the fruit that we could have produced if we had cleared the weeds in our hearts. Now, all of these soils right here, these three, these are negative soils, negative conditions, that if the seed goes in, good things aren't necessarily going to happen. But this morning, I want to talk about the positive conditions. I want to talk about what will happen if a little seed like that goes into good soil, not soil that is hard or that has rocks or thorns, but good soil. What will happen then? Well, to help me with this, I need my Southside soil testers. Come on up here, guys. Now, what they're going to do today is I'm going to put them to work. They've just been doing this little testing stuff. I'm going to make them work. Guys, I want you to stand by your soil. What I want y'all to do, y'all scoot down here, is I want y'all to make these three soils good soil, okay? I want you to clear the weeds. I want you to remove the rocks. I want you to soften this soil up with some water, okay? Now, I'm going to ask Roy and Kerr, who is their fifth grade Bible teacher, to come up and help them so that things don't get too messy, okay? Now, can y'all handle this? Okay, you got your gloves, you got your tools. Roy's going to come up, and they're going to work as I continue to preach. Now, don't focus on them. Let them work in peace and silence. Instead, focus on me as I continue to preach. So Jesus says in the parable that the farmer sows some seed among the hard soil, sows some seed among the rocks and among the thorns, but then he sows some seed among good soil. And it says in the parable that immediately when the seed goes into the good soil, it yields a crop. And what's interesting about that word yield in Greek, it's an imperfect tense which carries a sense of continuity. It doesn't just yield a crop one time. It yields a crop over and over and over again. As long as the seed remains viable, as long as the seed remains alive, and it goes into that good soil over and over again, it keeps producing crop, keeps producing fruit. And Jesus, in his explanation of the parable, he talks about that continuity, and he talks about what makes that continuity happen. First of all, he talks about the seed. He says that the seed is the Word of God. And as Ross read to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, the Word of God is living and enduring. That the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever, right? And we don't have to worry about the word of the Lord being destroyed or damaged or becoming defective or being eaten by a bird. That the word of the Lord is always alive. It is always viable. You might remember a few weeks back, I talked about Isaiah chapter 55. And how when God speaks, things happen. When God speaks his word, it's not going to come back to him void. It's not going to come back to him empty. When he says something, it's going to take place. When he says, let there be light, there's going to be light. But his word accomplishes what he wants it to accomplish. And so we can know that God's word, the seed of God's word, is always going to be alive and always going to be viable. And Jesus says, when that alive seed, that viable word of God, goes into the good soil, something happens. Now, what's interesting is Jesus explains what the good soil is. And in the three different gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they describe the good soil in a different way. Matthew says the good soil is the person who receives God's word and understands it. This is a person who comprehends what God has said in his mind. He grasps it. He understands it. He gets it. And he wants God's word to fill his life. Mark says that the good soil is the person who hears God's word and accepts it. This is the person who says, I want God's word in my heart. Just like those children. I want it in my heart. I want to know it. I want it to change me. I want it to transform me. Mark says that's the good soil. But then Luke says that the good soul is a person who hears the word of God and retains it. In other words, they grasp it and they hold on to it. And even during the hard times, even during the difficult times, they hold on to what God has said and what God has promised. They say, I'm going to trust in what he has said because he is Almighty God. And you put those three ideas together and you get what the good soil is. It's not just hearing the word, it's understanding the word, it's accepting the word, it's retaining the word. When I was in high school, my parents went on a short-term mission trip to Ukraine. And I was able to go with them, and part of that mission trip, we gave out Bibles from Eastern European Mission. And we were giving out Bibles, and there was a little boy who was about 5 or 6 years of age, who was the son of one of our translators that was working with us, and he got one of those Bibles. And his name was Arthur. And he got his Bible, and he was holding it like this. He was wrapping his arms around it like this, really close to his chest. And I said, Arthur, why are you holding your Bible like that? And he looked at me and he said, this book is the most important book in the world. And I don't want anyone to take it away from me. But when I think about someone who is good soil, someone who is understanding God's word, someone who accepts God's word, someone who retains it, I think about Arthur, that little boy with his arms wrapped around God's word saying, "This is what I want. I want it in my heart, I want it in my mind, and I don't want anyone to take it from me. I want God's words in my life." And Jesus says that when the seed, which is alive, the word of God, is planted in a heart like that, good soil, fruit is going to be born. In fact, in every account of the parable of the sower, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it uses the same word. Fruit is born in good soil. When the seed goes in the good soil, that's what happens. And that shows us this continuity that I was talking about, that we can know every time the word goes into good soil, it's always going to bear fruit. And so if someone is bearing fruit in their life, if God is making you more loving, full of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if you're developing those things in your life, if you're someone who loves your neighbor and reaches out to those in need, if you're someone who's participating in God's mission, the reason why is because you have become good soil and you are receiving God's word. That's the reason. If you're not bearing fruit in your life, if you're not becoming more loving, if you're not becoming full of joy, if you don't have peace, you don't have patience, you're not making a difference for the kingdom of God, I can tell you the reason. The reason is because you're not good soil. And you're not receiving the word of God. Because Jesus says, when the word of God that's alive and enduring, when it goes into good soil, it always bears fruit. It always bears fruit. Frederick Bruner, in his commentary on Matthew, puts it this way. Listen to what he says. He says, fruit bearing is not a matter of spiritual steps, difficult disciplines, or techniques. Fruit bearing is not a matter of spiritual steps, difficult disciplines, or techniques. In other words, it's not something difficult or complicated. Fruit bearing is a matter of receiving, understanding, and gripping the word of God. When we have that good soil and God's word comes in, it always bears fruit. We just have to do the work of making our heart into good soil. Now, speaking of work, how are we doing over here, guys? Y'all look like you're ready for inspection. Is that the case? Okay, I wanted you to tell me what you've been doing. Mitchell, what have you been doing?
I've been working on the hard soil and breaking it up and making it wet and kind of mixing it around with the good soil that's under it.
Okay. Very good. Very good. You feel like it's good soil now?
Yes.
Ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Adriana, what have you been doing?
I've been taking the rocks out of the rocky soil.
Okay. And you feel good about this? Feel like this is good soil, ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. JT, what have you been doing?
Making weeds, I guess.
Making weeds?
Oh, no.
Removing weeds.
Removing weeds, yeah.
Removing weeds, good. If you were making weeds, I shouldn't have you up here.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Okay, so you removed the weeds from the soil, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel good about it?
Yeah.
Think it's good soil?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Pulling thorns and weeds out.
Pulling thorns and weeds. Did you hurt your finger? Good. But you pulled them all out? Did you pull them out by the roots? Oh, you didn't? Are there still some roots in there? They are? Uh-oh. Well, we'll trust that the Lord will take care of those roots in time. Okay, so do y'all feel like all of these soils, all four of them, if we planted some seed in them, would they grow from the best of your ability?
Maybe.
Maybe? Maybe. Maybe? Okay. Well, I'll trust y'all's expert opinion. Hey, guys, thank you for being our soil testers this month, and I've got a little treat for you. It's not very much. It's a piece of candy, but take it. That's your payment. But let's give our soil testers a round of applause. Thanks, guys. Go ahead. Y'all can sit down. Thanks. Appreciate those guys. Hopefully you see the point in what they were doing. If you want to be good soil, it takes work. I used to think that the parable of the sower was all random. Well, some fell on the road, some fell here, some fell there, and it was all just random. And maybe if we're fortunate, we might be good soil. But I realize now that's not the case. If you want to be good soil, you got to work. You got to work at your heart. You got to get the rocks out. You got to soften the soil up. You got to clear the weeds, and it takes work. And sometimes it's even a little bit messy. But Jesus says, if you do the work, if you become the good soil, the seed is going to come in, and that seed is alive. It's the Word of God, and it's going to come in, and it's going to bear fruit in your life. I heard a story about a farmer. And this farmer bought a piece of land. And the land hadn't been used in several years. It was uncultivated. It was overgrown. There were weeds everywhere. The barn was falling down. The tractor equipment was rusted and wasn't working real well. So he called his preacher to come over and lead a prayer of blessing over the land. I think that's kind of nice. Preacher comes over, sees the land, and offers a special prayer and says, Lord, thank you for this piece of land, and may you work with this man to bring forth crops from this land. Well, the farmer goes to work, starts working on the land. A few months pass by, and then he calls the preacher back over. And the preacher comes back to the land, and things have completely changed. The field has been worked on. It's been tilled, and it looks really nice and neat. There's no more weeds. It's not overgrown anymore. And it's actually, they've planted some stuff, and it's actually producing fruit. The barn's not falling down. It's been rebuilt. The tractor equipment has been serviced, and now it's running correctly. And the preacher remarks to the farmer, isn't this amazing? Isn't it amazing what can happen when God and you work together? And the farmer replies and says, well, preacher, hang on a second. Don't forget what this field was like when God was working on it alone. But you get the point of the story. God can't work on your heart alone. If you don't cooperate with God in cultivating your heart's going to get overgrown, it's going to become full of weeds, and it's not going to bear much fruit at all. But I want everyone to hear what I'm going to say right now. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where have you been and what bad things you've done in the past. Every single person in this room can be good soil. You can be good soil just like that. It just takes some work. It takes you cooperating with God and examining your heart, opening up your heart and saying, you know what? Here's a weed and it needs to be pulled by the root. Here's some rocks that need to be passed out and removed. Here's some hardness that I need to soften up. It's just going to take some work. But if you cooperate with God, God can make you good soil and he can bring fruit from your life. He can do it. He can do it. When I made the decision that I wanted to preach on the parable of the sower, and I wanted to do it in April, I made that decision for two reasons. The first reason was because I thought it would coincide real well with the launching of our community garden, as I've already mentioned. But I made that decision also for a second reason, because of what I'm preaching on next. Starting next Sunday, I'm going to preach a new series entitled God's 10 Words. It's going to be on the 10 Commandments. And as a church, we're going to gather around Mount Sinai, and we're going to listen to the voice of God as he speaks. And Exodus chapters 19 and 20 are powerful passages. In fact, I'm going to challenge every person here in the room to memorize the 10 Commandments. I wasn't kidding when I talked to the children about you memorizing stuff. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. Because for the very first time, God, in a direct fashion, speaks to his people, and he says, here's how I want you to live. I've redeemed you from Egypt. Now here's how you live as a redeemed people. And he gives these 10 words, these 10 commands that really are foundational throughout Scripture of how we are to live, how we're to relate to God, and how we're to relate with one another. And we're going to hear God's voice speak to us. But if our hearts aren't good soil, those lessons and sermons are going to go in one ear and out the other. They're going to stay on the surface, and the birds are going to pick them up and eat them up. But if we do the hard work of making our hearts good soil, Those words are going to come in, and they're going to change us. And we will be transformed by what God has said to us. Spiritual growth is not rocket science. If you want to be transformed by God into the image of Christ, it's not real complicated. When I was studying the parable of the sower and preparing for this series, this hit me right between the eyes. It's not complicated if you really want to make a difference for the kingdom of God. If you want to be a witness for Jesus at your workplace and in your neighborhood, if you want to be more loving and full of joy and peace and all those good things, it's not complicated. Jesus says, just make your heart good soil. And when God's seed goes into good soil, it always bears fruit every single time. Every time. And if we can just cultivate our hearts into being good soil, God will change us. He will change us as a church. He will transform us if we make our hearts good soil. So what are we to say? I think what this means for you and me is that we must face the question that I started this series with and the question that I'm ending it with. What is it in your heart that needs to be removed for you to be good soil? What's in your heart that needs to be taken away, needs to be worked on if you're going to be good soil? What is it, a thorn, a weed? Is it a rock that's keeping you from developing the roots? Is it some kind of hardness? What is it? I want us to do a little exercise as we close. I want you to grab the blue card in the rack in front of you, if there is one. If there isn't one, just grab a piece of paper. But grab a card. I'm not going to ask you to turn it in at the collection plate. It's okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment and think, what is it in my heart that needs to be removed for me to be good soil? I want you to think about that. And I want you to write it down on that card. I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. I want you to write down that card, and then one of our elders, Kent Smith, is going to come up. He's going to lead us in a prayer, and he's going to ask God on behalf of all of us that God can take whatever that is out of the soil of our hearts so that we can be good soil and receive the seed of the Word of God. Take a moment, think about that, write it down, and Kent will come up.
Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, you are dear to us. We recognize you for being holy and mighty and loving and full of mercy and grace. And we are both honored and humbled that you even allow us to talk to you. In fact, you want us to talk to you. Even though each of us are sinners and fall short of your glory, and we pray first of all that you will forgive us of our sins. Father, in this moment, I'm reminded of the words of the song that we learned a few weeks ago that says, asks you to break our hearts and to tear the barriers down. And this morning, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 barriers written on blue cards. And we ask that you will tear those barriers down. Father, we also know that you know best, and you know our needs before we even ask you. And it may be that there are barriers that are not written on blue cards, and we ask you to remove those barriers as well. Our fondest desire is to serve you and to do your will. So we close this prayer, Father, with the words of the psalmist who says, "May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer." In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the great missionary pioneers of the 18th century was a man named William Carey. William Carey was one of the first ones to really emphasize the Great Commission and to tell churches the Great Commission was not just for the apostles, it's for us. And each one of us has a responsibility to carry the gospel to the world. Eventually, he took up that charge himself and moved to India and tried to share the gospel there. But there's a line of William Carey that I love. It's this line. He said, "Expect great things for God. Attempt great things for God." I think I missed that. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And as I was studying this good soil this week, that line came to my mind. Because if we do become that good soil and God takes those barriers from our hearts, God's seed will come into our hearts and great things will happen. It's the word of God, and great things will happen in our own life, in our family, in our church. We just have to be willing to open up our hearts and offer them to God. And if there is a barrier that is holding you back, we're going to have our elders surround this building, our spiritual leaders, and I would encourage you to walk to one of them and say, "Pray for me that I can be good soil." If you've been convicted during this series because your heart is full of rocks or weeds or whatever it is, and you know that you're not good soil, I hope you'll share that with one of your spiritual leaders, one of your elders. And just say, "Pray for me." We don't need to be embarrassed about making a confession like that. We all have times in our own spiritual life where we're just not where we need to be. And if that's where you are right now, your elders are here to encourage you. I encourage you to walk to one of them and say, "Pray for me that I can be good soil." Maybe you're ready to become a child of God, to repent of your sins, to be baptized into Christ, to open up your heart to the salvation that God wants to give. If you're ready to do that, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, during this song, just come to the front. If there's any way we can help you be good soil, please come. Together we stand and sing.